Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Here we are off and running on a Tuesday, June the 30th, last day of June 2020. How about that? Tuesday, June the 30th, 2020. 6:30, 2020. Now, how in the world did I screw up the date? Maybe I should leave my glasses on while I'm reading the date. Tuesday, June the 30th, 2020, last day of June of 2020. Can you believe tomorrow will be the month of July? How about that? 13 and a half minutes past the hour. Now, we're going to be joined by a guest here momentarily. And this is going to be a lot of fun. We had this gentleman on 4 years ago, and, no matter what your leanings are in life, I want you to listen to this interview, because I want you to listen, and I want you to remember this in just a few months, and see if what information we're able to extract today is exactly correct. So that should be coming up here in just the next couple minutes. And I will tell you what is very strange. Anytime you have a guest on, you never know if they're actually going to be on. You know, you book them, you talk to them, you give them the time, you hope they're right, you hope the time zones all come through, but you never really know. So you sweat it out a little bit until they actually call in. So we'll wait here a couple minutes and see if our guest does call in. Other than that, I have a whole lot of stuff I want to talk about this morning. There are some interesting things in society that I want to talk about as we head into the big 4th of July weekend, this coming weekend. There are a lot of weird things, I think, going on in society right now, and I wonder about them. I do wonder, and I think even in our own little circles, there are a few weird things going on. So it'll be fun to talk about all that as the morning progresses here this morning. Now, don't forget, we have the big special coming up on Friday, the Independence Eve special, as I'm calling it, July 3rd, 8 to 11 p.m., night before the big 4th of July, right here on this station, 8 until 11 p.m., we will be live on the air, and that is going to be a tremendous special, because it's going to be, at this point, my understanding is it's going to be a big group effort. So it'll be a little different than it normally is on Friday night. Obviously, it'll be an hour longer than it usually is, but it's going to be a group effort. It's going to be in celebration of the 4th, plus it's going to be a whole lot of fun. So you got to like that. So Friday night, 8 until 11 p.m., tune your radios in. You're not going to want to miss that for love nor money on Friday night. What fun we are going to have. And we're going to have a lot of fun today here on WWGH Radio, because coming up today at 2 o'clock, we have the Adam the Computer Guy show. Coming up today at 4 o'clock, we have Voice of the People with Linda Sims. And coming up today at 5 o'clock, we have the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. So the day will progress very nicely here at WWGH Radio. Now, as we wait for our first guest, let's see what will happen. Now, I think he should be calling in any time. So let me double check here. See, if I would have showed up to rehearsal this morning. Oh, here we go. See, just as soon as I get over there, the guest. Well, maybe this is not the guest. Let's take this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I was listening yesterday before you signed off in the morning.
Yeah.
And that caller sounded very familiar. Sounded like a guy that used to make calls from his radio station and does an Earl Pitts imitation.
Oh, really?
That's what it sounded like to me. You know, with the way he was talking, you just got guy there and all that.
So now, who is this? Do we know who this guy is?
Well, it sounded like Gary Burbank.
Oh, you think?
He used to do that on his radio show.
He
would call places And, well, you know, he would call, like, the all different places, and he would keep them on the phone and just have a nice conversation, but then he would usually tell at the end that that's who it was. But that's who it sounded like.
Well, it could be. I know I enjoyed the conversation yesterday. I don't know. It could be, for all I know.
I thought that voice sounded awful familiar.
Well, if it was, it wouldn't surprise me, but I whoever it was, I certainly did enjoy the conversation.
Because, see, but just the way he was talking, and, you know, he used to, when he'd do his Gilbert and Arlie voice and some of those, he would call places and, you know, like the, the health center or something like that, and he would get them going, but that's what it sounded like to me.
Well, maybe we'll
very familiar.
Maybe we'll find out as the morning goes on this morning.
All righty.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we had a caller yesterday who I believe has called in before. Here we go. Now our guest is ready to go. Okay. Hopefully our guest will come along here right now, and this will be fascinating. And maybe we'll get into the caller yesterday. Now, I think that caller's local, as far as I know, because they've called in before, but you never know. You never know who's on the other end of the phone. That's just one of those things. Everybody's on the honor system here, so we kind of go along in that particular direction. 19 minutes past the hour, and I believe our guest will be phoning in here, as I just got an email from them. And this is going to be fascinating, because I think we're going to learn some things here. Maybe things you do want to learn, maybe things you don't want to learn, but it will be fascinating nonetheless, because, as I say, I want you to listen to the conversation that we're about to have and kind of turn off everything else going on in your mind and look more toward the fall and kind of pay attention to what's being said and then see if what was said this morning's right. I'm interested to hear this because, as I say, we did this back in 2016 and it ended up being right. I remember correctly. That was 4 years ago, but it did end up being right, so you've got to remember that. And I'm kind of being vague here until we get the person on the line about exactly what I'm talking about. So stay with us here. I think this person's going to call in momentarily. 20 minutes past the hour here, WWGH Radio Time. Going to be joined by a guest momentarily. And as I've said, don't forget the big special on Friday night, 8 to 11 p.m. And now I think we're going to be joined by our guest here. And as we continue the morning this morning, this is going to be a lot of fun. Because the guest we are joined by here during this hour, we had on almost exactly 4 years ago. Now, let me tell you about our guest this morning. Professor Alan Lichtman is a political historian, a professor, and maybe known best for his many appearances on television predicting presidential elections with a system that he has devised. Now, here's the deal on this. He has predicted 8 of the last 9 presidential elections correctly. 8 of the last 9, including the 2016 election, which we all thought was going to go the other way. So what better time? I mean, people forget this is a presidential year with all the COVID and the protests going on, but it is a presidential year. It's coming up very soon in November. What a better time to bring back to the program Professor Alan Lichtman. Professor Lichtman, how are you?
Doing great. Staying healthy. Hope you are, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Professor, I want to get into this because I think it's fascinating. You have predicted 8 of the last 9 presidential elections. For people who don't know, how do you do this?
Well, let me say, I think it's 9 of 9 because in 2000, I predicted Al Gore, who won the popular vote, and then the election was stolen in Florida when they suppressed the vote of African Americans, but we don't need to argue that. The way I do it is according to a system known as the 13 keys to the White House. It is the world's only historically based prediction system, because as you say, I am a political historian, not a political scientist or an economist. I developed the system way back in 1981 when I was a visiting scholar at Caltech in Pasadena. And there I met another visiting scholar, Volodya Kylas-Borok from Moscow, the world's leading authority in earthquake prediction. And it was his idea to collaborate. And of course, being brilliant and foresightful, I said, we're not going to collaborate. I got to go back to Washington, D.C. Nobody cares about earthquakes there. And he said, oh, no, I've already solved earthquakes. Right? No, no. He said, what I really want to do is use the methods of earthquake prediction to predict elections. And so I thought, why not? And so what we did was we reconceptualized elections completely. Remember, this is 1981, not as Carter versus Reagan, not as liberal versus conservative, not as Republican versus Democrat, but in geophysical terms, as stability, the party holding the White House keeps the White House, upheaval, the party is turned out of office. And so we looked at every American presidential election from 1860, when Lincoln was elected, in the horse and buggy days of politics, through 1980, with the idea that elections are primarily votes up or down based on the performance and strength of the party holding the White House. And it was that retrospective analysis that turned up 13 key factors that were associated with stability or upheaval. And these were things that gauge the strength and performance of the party holding the White House, like third parties, intra-party contests, midterm elections, long and short-term economy, social unrest, scandal, policy change, foreign policy successes and failures. And the 13 keys are 13 true-false questions where an answer of true always favors the re-election of the White House party. And the way it works, if six or more of the questions are false, that is, there are six or more negative keys, any six, it's nonlinear, the party holding the White House is a predicted loser. Real simple system. You don't even have to take your shoes off to use it. And it's the world's only do-it-yourself prediction system. You can't go out and take a big poll. You can't go out and develop one of those complicated regression equations, but you can buy my book, Predicting the Next President, coming out in August this year, look at the 13 keys and answer them and be your own predictor.
And now, Professor Lichtman, if six or more of these 13 keys end up being false, it means the party currently in the White House will not continue with the White House, and apparently this has been pretty successful because, as you say, 9 out of 9 times you've been right every time you've done this. So that being said, at what point, because the world's ever-changing, at what point in a presidential year do you do this true or false survey to see if this is going to happen?
Yeah, great question. I start an inauguration day. I start lining up the keys. And while once the keys are lined up, I can make a prediction, I can't predict in advance when the keys are going to give me a clear answer. And the timing of the prediction has varied enormously. Sometimes I've made my prediction years in advance. I predicted in 2006 that the Republicans would be turned out of office in 2008. In fact, I became infamous for saying things are going so badly for the Bush administration that the Democrats could pick a name out of a phone book and elect that person president. That's kind of what happened. You ever heard of Barack Obama back in early 2006 in the very difficult to call 2012 election, where a lot of people thought Romney was going to win after Barack's terrible first debate. I called that in 2010. On the other hand, I didn't call the very hard to call 2016 2016 election until September of the election year. So the keys can line up differently in different election years.
Now, with a book coming out very soon, obviously it sounds like you have already predicted this year. What made this year's timing correct?
Well, what was so... And by the way, I haven't made a final prediction yet. So here's what's happened this year and made this year so fascinating. Keeping in mind, there isn't a final prediction. In fact, I don't intend to make one probably until late July when the second quarter economic numbers come out. But here's the incredible story of this year. As of late 2019, it looked like Donald Trump was going to get a second term, to get the approval ratings, to get the polls. Didn't matter who he was running against. He was down at that point, by my reckoning, only four keys. Remember, six and you're out, so we get a two-key cushion. And then, of course, the world crashed in early 2020. America was hit with a triple crisis, the pandemic, the economic collapse, and the protests that followed the killing of George Floyd. This changed everything. It put three more keys of jeopardy: the short-term economy key, the long-term economy key, and the social unrest key. Keys that looked pretty solid in late 2019. If any two or three of those keys fall, and we should know about the economic keys once the second quarter numbers are released, then everything changes and Trump becomes a predicted loser.
So as of right now, and again, we don't know the second quarter numbers, but I think we pretty well know the second quarter numbers based upon the COVID and what's going on. You're saying that at this point, now last year you would have said President Trump would have been reelected before the COVID, before the George Floyd incident, but right now, as we just are about to head in July of 2020, you're saying Joe Biden will be our next president.
I am not saying that.
No.
And please don't put words in my mouth.
No, let's try that again.
It really bothers me because people misinterpret what I say and misinterpret the keys. I don't want some headline coming out saying Lichtman predicts Trump is going to lose. I never said that. You said that.
I did say that.
And that really annoys me.
Yeah, I did say that. So what are you saying exactly?
I think what I said was very clear, that as of 2019, Trump was down four keys. There are three more keys in jeopardy. I've not made a final prediction. I expect to, but you never know, by the end of July, beginning of August.
Well, which is what I just said.
Shakier for Donald Trump than they did in 2019, but I've made no final prediction.
So what are the three keys that are in jeopardy again?
Yeah, the short-term economy key, the long-term economy key, and the social unrest key.
Which is pretty much what I just said, that if those things don't change, what you're saying is it might go...
No! Look, I'm going to end this interview because you keep trying to put words in my mouth.
No, I'm not... Sir,
I'm done.
No, I'm not trying to say that. I'm just asking you.
No, you're saying things. You're putting words in my mouth. And I don't like that. That's not the way you do an interview.
No, right. And I'm asking
who you are, but you're conducting a terrible interview. Well, it really makes me angry.
Well, hold on, Professor. Hold on a second. I just want to make sure.
Not appropriate.
No, and I just want to clear this.
You're putting words in my mouth. You're going to create headlines. That
No. There's going to be no headlines from this. No, there'll be no headlines. I'm just asking a question.
Hope no one's listening.
I don't think there'll be any headlines. I'm just asking.
You're putting words in my mouth. You're saying things that I do not say.
Right, I'm just asking a question. I'm asking.
You didn't ask a question. You made a statement.
I said that that's what I said.
Well, I don't care what you said.
Well, you got
you're not the forecaster.
No, I'm not the forecaster.
You're eliciting my views.
Right, and I'm trying to get
and
to what the views are. So what are those...
I don't see the purpose of continuing, I'm sorry.
Well, hold on, Professor, just calm down for a second. I'm just asking because I don't want to misrepresent what you say. That's the point.
You don't need to misrepresent it. You just need to listen to it.
Okay.
You don't need to rephrase it in your own words.
Right. So run that.
I'll run it by you again.
Please do.
Crystal clear. I have made no final prediction.
Exactly.
Three keys are now in jeopardy that weren't in jeopardy before. The short-term economy key, the long-term economy key, and the social unrest key. I am waiting for second quarter numbers. I'm waiting to see what happens with the protests before making a final call. All I can say at this point is that Trump is in greater jeopardy than he was at the end of 2019, but I have not made a final call.
Okay, and this is a question. So no prediction has been made, no call has been made, and we will wait to see until what point? Exactly what point will you make your prediction?
I would expect, and you never know, to make a prediction end of July, early August, when we see what's going on with the economy and what's going on with the protests and demonstrations.
Now, Professor, when you were on in 2016, I remember that was a little complicated, more complicated than other elections because of a lot of the things that were going on, which were unprecedented. Does this feel like that, or does this feel like maybe another year where things aren't as complicated?
That's a great question. Things are complicated this year because it's unusual to suddenly have such an abrupt change in America. You know as well as I, we've never really experienced a triple whammy like we've been hit with so suddenly this year. It's just never happened in the history of the country. So, indeed, this is an unusual year, although, you know, we could say any year in that sense is an unusual year. And there are also two caveats that make this an extraordinary year that are outside the scope of the keys. One is voter suppression. We know there's a huge battle over voter access. We just saw in Kentucky, they closed 90% of the polls. That was just outrageous. So we don't know the extent to which the pandemic will be raging in November and the extent to which the American people will be able to vote. Obviously, the keys are premised on a free and fair election. I talked about 2000, which was not a free and fair election, which, you know, did screw up the prediction. And secondly, the Russians. You know, we just heard that it's very likely the Russians were paying Taliban to kill Americans. Are they going to stop that meddling again and interfering again in our elections? And is it even going to be worse than it was in 2016 because they're more sophisticated and we have a president who will do nothing to stop them? So this is just a year like I've really never seen before because of those three factors, the extraordinary events, voter suppression, and Russian meddling all converging on this country.
There are two interesting questions, hopefully, I think here that the audience would want to know. Now, because of the demonstrations and even in some places riots, that seems to be more of an ambiguous thing because we don't know how long that's going to last. We don't know how
Correct.
Long. Yeah. So in is late July when the final prediction is made, how much would this have had to have slowed down? How do you judge something like that?
Yeah. The way the key is phrased, and of course you got to buy my book, which explains in detail how to turn each key, it's got to be sustained social unrest. And I'm going to see over the next, you know, month, 5 weeks, whether or not these protests and these demonstrations peter out or are, you know, sustained over a period of several months.
The way people will possibly end up voting this year because of the COVID-19, we haven't had a pandemic, obviously, while you've been doing these predictions, does that have any impact in your mind? That certainly is different than any other year.
Absolutely. As I said, you know, the big issue, which is outside the scope of the keys that we haven't seen before, these people might not be able to vote. You know, there are, what, you know, about 14 states where you can't get a no-excuse absentee ballot. Even in states with excuse absentee ballots, people might not actually get such a ballot. You know, they might not be aware of it. And depending where the virus is, and, you know, the truth is we don't know very much about this virus, it may be difficult for people to vote, and that could change everything.
Mm. The way people are campaigning this year, because you can't go to the big rooms, and if you do, a lot of people are not showing up as they would. We don't know what's going to happen with the debates. We don't know what's going to happen with the conventions at this particular point. Do you think that will have any impact?
No, I don't think so, because, you know, look, way back when I remember, the keys go retrospectively back to 1860. And in those days, very few people actually saw or heard their presidential candidates. You know, no television, no radio, obviously no computers, no internet. So the keys are what we call a very robust system. They've survived over a very long period of time with enormous changes in our country. So I don't think that will change things. But, you know, something as fundamental as people being able to vote, that's another matter.
As time has went on, as you have been making these predictions, how have you seen the political parties change
yes.
over time?
The biggest change in the context of the Keys, not necessarily in the context of the country, but I'll get to that, is the irrelevance of the popular vote. When I first developed the Keys in 81, you had to go all the way back to 1888. Very different time to find a divergence between the popular vote and the Electoral College vote, and that had happened only one time previously in 1876. But now it's happened twice in a brief period of time, 2000 and 2016. Here's what's happened. The Democrats can now count on piling up 5 to 6 million extra popular votes in just two states, New York and California. And they can do that again this year. There's not even a remotely comparable Republican state. The biggest Republican state is Texas. And that's going to be close this year. So if the election is at all close, the Democrats will win the popular vote. But as we saw in 2016, that doesn't mean they're going to win the Electoral College vote. So I don't call the popular vote anymore. I just call who is going to be the winner, like I did in 2016. But that's, you know, outside the Keys, that's an enormous flaw in our democracy, where the people really don't choose their president anymore. And you could have, as we did in 2016, one candidate win the popular vote by millions of votes and still lose in the Electoral College.
Do you think there should be a change with how we do that popular vote versus Electoral College?
I do. I think the Electoral College is obsolete. Look, we're the world's oldest continuously running democracy. And that has its great advantages because we have very strong democratic traditions, which are being sorely tested this year, by the way. But it also has the disadvantage in that we're still saddled with some 18th century obsolete procedures. First and foremost, the Electoral College. Look, the Electoral College was intimately tied to the institution of slavery. The Southerners wouldn't stand for election by popular vote because the slaves who couldn't vote would count to zero. So that's where they came up with the notorious three-fifths compromise. Slaves would count as three-fifths of a person for purposes of congressional representation and the Electoral College. So slaves would pad the Electoral College vote of the South. The other thing you got to realize is back then, the difference between the most populous vote and the least populous vote was 5 to 1. Today it's about 50 or 60 to 1. And so, yes, we really do need to change the Electoral College, but, you know, getting a constitutional amendment is very, very difficult.
You know, Professor Lichtman, it's interesting when it comes to the economy, because it certainly seems like the economy is a big part of this prediction. Now, this year, the economy started to take a downturn because of the COVID. Do you think that that makes any difference, that the voter will say, well, yeah, the economy is not as good as it could be, but it all started with the pandemic and not with the current party in the office?
Yeah, I don't think so. First of all, I don't go outside the Keys. You know, if the economic numbers say you lose this key, you lose it. I don't try to figure out. You know, Herbert Hoover kept saying, the Depression isn't my fault. You know, and he was right. But, so that doesn't work. And two, it is, at least in part, Donald Trump's fault. You know, had he responded better to the pandemic instead of ignoring all the warnings and saying it was going to go away and disappear, and anyone who wanted to get a test could get a test in early March, it might have blunted the pandemic and not delivered such a blow to the economy.
Now, Professor Lichtman, when the book comes out, tell us, for anybody who would like to buy the book, what the book's about.
Yeah. This is the, I lost count, the sixth or seventh edition of the book. So this book has had legs. And it's called Predicting the Next President, The Keys to the White House, 2020. And the book describes, as I did briefly on your show, the development of the system. And it goes in depth into each key, talking about how to turn the keys. It runs us right through American history, talking about each presidential term from 1860 onward and how the keys were turned for each term. And then it talks about 2020 and what are the factors that will decide the 2020 election. It also talks about something very important that's often overlooked. Yeah, it's nice to be able to predict elections, but the keys do something more than that. By saying that campaigning as usual doesn't matter. That's what the keys say. Ads, speeches, debates, fundraising, campaign tricks, all the grist for the punditry mills. And I have to give you credit, you've not fallen into that trap. All the grist for the punditry mills counts for nothing. And conventional campaigning counts for nothing. By conventional measures, Hillary Clinton should have won in a landslide. She won every debate, according to the polls. She had a better campaign organization, a better ground game, more money, more ads. Doesn't matter. This should liberate candidates. But they don't have to do traditional campaigning. They can campaign in a substantive way to build a mandate for governing, which would be good for the country and good for the candidates because it would help them if they, you know, were able to run again, win a second term, or help their party win another term. So the keys should, although they haven't yet, completely change the way in which campaigns are conducted.
Just a couple more questions here, Professor Lichtman, and I do appreciate the time. Democrat and Republican have become so polarized, even in local elections, much more than they used to be, I think, in modern times. Do you fear any backlash when the prediction does come out that if you don't predict in a certain way that the fanatical people who follow the candidates, there will be some kind of backlash?
Oh, I always get a bit of a backlash. You can imagine when I predicted Donald Trump's win, that did not make me very popular in 90% plus Democratic Washington, D.C. And you know, I've been doing this now for what, 36 years or so? And every 4 years I do succeed in making very angry about half of the American people. And since I've been doing this for so many years, I've made the entire American people angry with me, so it's not something I worry about. Look, here's another secret I'll share with you. What's the hardest thing in being a successful forecast? It's not knowing history, or you get no history. It's not knowing politics, or you get no politics. It's not knowing math, or you get no math. It's putting aside your own personal political views am doing this in an objective way. I have forecast 5 Republican wins, 4 Democratic wins out of 9. That's about, like, that's mathematically as close as possible to being even as you can get.
And my final question, in the years that you have done this and been right 9 out of 9 times, what has been, maybe even not necessarily in the exact prediction, but what has been the biggest surprise to you in all these years?
I guess the biggest surprise to me was the nomination of Donald Trump. Came out of nowhere. You know, he's elected president as the first American president with 0 governmental experience. Not in the military like Eisenhower, not as a cabinet member like Herbert Hoover, and of course not as an elected official like the vast majority of our presidents. You know, I can't predict nominations. I don't have the keys to nominations because that's a mathematically impossible equation, because every primary is dependent on any other. But I think, you know, that's been the biggest surprise, I think, of our times.
And just one more time, just to be absolutely correct, as far as the prediction goes, when will it, it has not been made, when will it go, when will it come, in your opinion, and so we can all be ready for that? And when will the book be released?
Yeah, it should come right around the time of the book release, end of July, very beginning of August. That is my expectation. You know, though, there's an old Chinese saying, may you live in interesting times. Some call it a curse, and it certainly applies today. And things have whipsawed so much in this country that God knows, you know, what might happen next.
Well, Professor Lichtman, as I say, I was so happy to have you on back in 2016. I believe you came on in 2017, when there was impeachment prediction going on. And I'm sorry this morning we got into a little confusion there. I hope this wasn't a terrible interview for you in the end.
You rescued yourself. You actually, except for those 2 minutes, you did a great job.
Well, Professor Lichtman, it's always great to have you on, and I hope you do come back when the prediction is made.
Happy to do it.
Take care. Thank you, Professor. Bye-bye. And there we go. Now, let me tell you something about that interview. And I like Professor Lichtman, absolutely like Professor Alan Lichtman. He has predicted every presidential election, as he said, 9 out of 9 times. But let me tell you what I loved about that particular instance there. That's live radio. You can't plan that. And I don't know why that got a little out of hand, to be honest with you. Maybe it was my fault. I don't know. I thought I was just restating what I said, but I can understand, to be honest with you, why a guy like Professor Lichtman would not want to be misrepresented. There are going to be no headlines out of this interview because no prediction has been made. I mean, let's be clear to say that. No prediction has been made. Clear and simple. I totally ascertain that. My feeling just was that because of the keys, my feeling, not his, is that if the economy does not turn around, if the racial unrest is still there, would that mean Joe Biden would be elected president? That's all that was about. But I enjoyed that. I thought that was great. You know, passion's an important thing. You've got to have passion in what you do. And clearly, Professor Lichtman has a lot of passion. And I understand that. So there you go. Phone lines are open. Do you have anything to say about that interview, about how you feel maybe this whole thing's going, or any comments on that interview in general? It certainly was not your typical interview in the morning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, I remember, I don't know when it was, a couple years ago, we had a politician on, and I won't say the name, but the politician got a little angry at the questions that were being asked. And, you know, you never take that personally, because you're trying to ask the best questions that you can. And if somebody gets a little sideways, that's okay. You know, that's what live radio is all about. That's why you have
moments like that. And I'll tell you, years from now, that'll be a moment we'll probably be playing on the anniversary show where that interview got out of hand. But you know what? Here's the thing. He stayed on the phone. That's important, is that he stayed on the phone and he finished the interview. And I think we did learn something from that. That's the important thing. We need to learn about what's going on. And I did not want that to be a political interview, and I don't think it was. I don't think that was a political interview at all. I don't think when you've predicted the last 9 out of 9 presidents, you've predicted, excuse me, Republicans and Democrats. So I would say that you are not a partisan person. Now, you might have your own political beliefs, as Professor Lichtman stated, but clearly you're doing this on your key system. So it made for a very interesting morning. You know, some mornings you just come in here and you do interviews, and they're kind of the same. I like a good moment like that. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 53 minutes past the hour. What did you think of our friend, Professor Alan Lichtman? And by the way, that's not the first time he's been on. He was on in 2016. I believe he was on in 2017 prior to the impeachment. And he was on today, and he'll be on when the prediction comes out in late July. And just remember, he's been correct every time, 9 out of the last 9 times. So this will be the 10th time. How about that? Kind of an anniversary prediction, as it were. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you have any thoughts on that particular interview? I will say this about that particular interview. I did not see it going that way. Usually, somebody like a Professor Lichtman, you would not think would. But, you know, here's what I think happened there, to be honest with you. If you want my little armchair quarterback idea about what happened, I'm sure he gets misquoted a lot. And I'm sure a lot of people have been out to misquote him. And I think, unfortunately, that's the basis of a lot of news shows right now, is they're out to get you to say something that you don't necessarily want to say. And that probably has happened to him before. And people do try to make headlines in that way. But heavens knows that's not what we're here to do. We want to know the truth. That's the point. Educate, inform. That's the mission statement. And now, I think we are all a little more calm, and we all understand what the professor had to say, is that the month of July is just about upon us, and we will have the prediction, I think he said sometime in July, but heaven knows I don't want to misquote what the man said. But his book will be out, and we'll learn all about this. And then we'll see if it all comes out in November. I would think it'd be a very weird year because of the COVID and the racial unrest. I just got a message on Facebook that said, he told you, LOL. You know, I love that. You know, passion is important. We've got to have passion in what we do. You know, and I don't take that as a personal affront. I take that as the professor trying to guard something, his reputation, which obviously he felt that I had said something that was not up his alley. So there you go. I hold no ill will toward the professor at all, and I don't think he holds any ill will toward me, and we will all await his prediction because that is something we all want to hear. All right, 56 minutes past the hour. Anything on anybody's minds this morning? July 3rd, the big special coming up, 8 until 11 p.m. You won't want to miss that. Oh, I have to talk about this cookout coming up on July the 4th. I think it's all fell into place now, but there are a few things about it that I want to discuss because a few more developments came up in regard to this yesterday. Nothing bad, but just a few more developments that I think are kind of interesting. Oh, by the way, the light was out this morning. You know, when I come here in the morning, I go by Harding High School. And the light there, is that University Drive? At the end of University Drive, where it meets 309, right there in front of Harding, the light was out this morning. So it was a red blinking light. Now, does anybody know the proper procedure for a red blinking light? Now, it's my understanding that the proper procedure is that you stop, that now becomes a stop sign, and you look both ways to see if traffic is coming from either way, and then you make your move out based upon that. I'm not sure that's what was actually happening this morning. And I think a lot of people were confused by it, which makes me sad, because I saw somebody hanging a U-turn on Route 309 this morning. And trust me, that is no easy task to swing a U-ey on Route 309, 7:30 in the morning when there were a lot of people on the road. A matter of fact, I think that was probably illegal, but to be honest with you, I couldn't tell you anything about the car, and I certainly didn't get the license plate, so that's out the window. I guess you just had to be there to see it, but a car hanging a U-turn. I wonder if people know the driving rules. You know, because inevitably, you will have a situation like that where the light will go out. You know, technology is technology, and electricity is electricity, and not all electrical items always work all the time. And that is the way it goes. And that's the way it went in front of Harding this morning, to be honest with you. Now, next hour, we're going to talk a lot about experiences, and we're also going to talk about some things that have been very good that have been going on that I think might need some recognition here. And we also still want to know, what does the 4th of July Independence Day mean to you? We want to know that, because that's very important. That was a conversation we asked yesterday that led into a big, long conversation. So what does the 4th of July mean to you? Means a lot of things to a lot of different people, but what does it mean to you in general? Is it all about the fireworks shows, which apparently will go on this year? It's a very unique holiday in a lot of ways, but I don't know how much people really understand or get what the 4th of July is really all about, and I don't even know if they want to understand what the 4th of July is all about. So it's one of those things. Let's see here. Oh, and I got to tell you a story about two people possibly getting together. Now, that's a cliffhanger for you. Come back with more boxing prize fight here on more crossfire here this morning on WWGH Radio. Be back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door, Oswald handcuffed to you, you're to protect